CHD2 Laverne. Online at thegamenashville.com. We are
ESPN
1025 The Game. Live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Darren, Donick, and Chase. With hosts Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
1025 The Game.
Welcome in to Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Happy Monday to everybody, and it's a big day. We are downtown at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena on the SoBro side, and it is opening day, a doubleheader. Yes. And as they say, let's play two. You've got a tradition that's been happening the last few years between the Predators and the Florida Panthers. And so today, we'll have some action, and we will have all of the action here on 102.5 The Game. We're looking forward to that. And so, Chase, with Darren out today, you and I have to kind of step up our game.
Yeah, we're going to hold it down. Darren going to miss today's show, but that's all right. There's three of us. We pick the other guy up when he's down. So that's what we're doing, and a lot to get into. Excited to have some hockey back, though, here at Bridgestone Arena. Two games. Pregame coverage begins at 3 for game number one, and then puck drop around 3:30. So it'll be fun to see the boys back on the ice. I know they had a scrimmage yesterday, and they've opened up training camp. So it's early in the process, but it'll be fun to evaluate some of these younger guys. And I know that the radio call, Pete and Hal will have a majority of it, but you and C-Mace are going to pinch hit a little bit.
Mace and I are going to step in and do a little bit just to relieve the guys of having to do six straight periods, and we'll get a little work in as well, kind of a spring training format. So Mace and I will have the middle period of each game. Pete and Hal will have first and third. And so we will split up the duties and have a lot of fun today. We'll take a look at the lineups a little bit later in the show and let you know who's playing when. But in the meantime, if you're out and about, if you're downtown, we're at Pete and Terry's. So starting at 11, in fact, if you want to drop by now, we still got some donuts left over and some coffee.
Come see us.
If you want to grab that. That was the deal for the morning drive. We still got that. But if you want to wait until lunchtime, we've got a lunch special that we want to tell people about. What did I hear? A burger?
Yes.
And a beer for $12.50. So we're using our numbers here. You get it?
Yeah.
102.5.
Yeah, I like it.
$12.50. So that's a deal that you can jump on.
Yeah.
If you're coming to the game anyway, you can definitely jump on that. The first game starts at 3:30.
Yep, and that lunch special begins at 11 a.m., but you can, like you said, come by and see us. We're at Pete and Terry's, and come and say hi. This is our new location for this year. We'll be out and about a little bit, so
right.
It'll be fun.
You can get to us.
You can have lunch
with us on any game day. In the past, we've been over at Barrel House, which is our broadcast position for the games. But we decided to move it outside to give you a chance on a game day to hang with us during the lunch hour. So keep that in mind throughout the season. So we're looking forward to that. Now, Darren McFarland is out for the moment, but we expect him to be back for broadcast time. But, Chase, it's been rough on Darren.
We got another injury. Well, I think it's the same injury. I just think it's escalated at this point.
We don't want to speculate.
We're not speculating, but we know that he's going to be out for today's show. He was a scratch, so they're evaluating. We're going to see what happens, and we hope to have more information. We're calling it lower body right now, day to day, for Darren McFarland. But I feel like this is one of those where he's tried to tough it out, and it just it's not getting any better.
But I'll tell you, the day-to-day, we may have some more definitive news later in the day. Let's check with Max Hurst back at the studio. Max, have you had anything from Darren in the last 30 minutes?
We have not.
To, any more definitive?
The antenna is up. The antenna is up. We're all ears. The order of injury news I heard was Breeze, Roethlisberger, McFarland. We got Drew Breeze. He's going to miss 6 weeks having thumb surgery today. We're waiting on Big Ben. He might be going under for Tommy John or something, and we'll see what happens with Darren. Maybe he can have Ben Roethlisberger's elbow ligament. We'll see. For his lower body injury.
That might help in that situation. Yep. But Adam Schefter and Darren Drager, all the insiders from all the sports, they are all over it.
We'll see which one. Is it a hockey reporter or a football reporter that first gets the news on Darren McFarland and his injury? He is happy to report, though, that his young group of baseballers that have moved over to the travel scene from the rec ball scene, they did get a couple wins in the fall tournament. So
they
he
did.
Was very happy about that.
He
played through the pain.
His head coaching debut.
Yeah.
Head coaching
first
debut.
Wins. First wins in travel ball play. So that was good. So, Teron Davenport is going to join us right here at Pete and Terry's at 10:15. And so we will get heavy into the Titans game that happened yesterday. But let's just start it this way, Chase. It was, to me, it was such a frustrating game for the Titans in that it was right there. I looked at the Colts, the way they played. It was a lot like I expected the Colts to look. They came in and they basically, we hear this term a lot in hockey, they played a good, solid road game. In other words, they didn't take too many chances. They basically sat back and said, we're not going to be too aggressive. We're going to just see if you can beat us. And it was right there the whole game for the Titans to go take the game and beat them. But the Colts were patient.
Yep.
They had the one big play in the game, really, the 55-yard run, which I would argue if that doesn't happen, the Titans still eke it out.
Yep.
But it was just really disappointing that the Titans, it so fell into line with the good to great that they're still not where they want to be. They're good, but it looked a lot like the last few teams where they haven't really taken that step forward. And this was a great opportunity to show that they had taken a step forward.
I don't want to hear this good to great crap anymore because they are far from great. They're borderline. They're not even good right now with how they played yesterday. Marcus Mariota's making mistakes that he should have been making in his first year, not his fifth year. I know some people are angry at Cairo Santos for missing the 48-yarder, and I understand, you know, there's an expectation with kickers, but 48 yards is definitely not a gimme. So you can't hang the loss on him. You have to hang the loss on not being able to execute. And what was up with the clock management at the end of the game? Number one, you stand there for 30 seconds. You're not going to go for it on fourth down. You're losing at this point. So you waste 30 seconds, and then you call a timeout that you could have used later on because you have to spike it on third down, and that ultimately led to the play of the game where they did not get the first down conversion on fourth down, and you lose the game. So I did not understand the clock management at all by Mike Vrabel at the end of the game.
I think that goes in line with a lot of little things that added up, so many little things. I made a list, Chase, and as you would expect, and I think we'll talk about it today, Mariota, I saw what everybody else saw when you really slowed down the film and looked at some of the plays. He left a lot on the table, some decisions where he held the ball, where he missed open guys that he didn't try to throw to. He made some poor decisions, and certainly the clock management at the end of the game. That's what everybody has fresh in their mind. But there were so many plays throughout the game that involved all of the different phases. You mentioned the missed field goal, the defense. Here's one that stood out to me, just for an example. The Titans do punt, right? Yeah, they screwed up, and they shouldn't have held the ball and feigned like they were going to try to draw them offside. That happened. But then the Colts clearly are not going to take any chances at the end of the game. They're going to hand the ball off. They're going to say, let's see if Marcus Mariota can beat us. Let's see if we can run the ball a few times. And Jarrell Casey lines up in the neutral zone.
It's just that
of all the players that you would expect to make a mental mistake like that, he's not one of them. But he let him down on that play. The first and five is critical. They don't get a first down if he doesn't do that, and they still probably shouldn't have had one. And then, of course, they gambled the Frank Reich play, gambling on going on fourth and one. That is an unbelievably crazy decision in my mind, but it worked.
Yep.
Right? And so many things happened during the course of that game where you kind of say to yourself, one play or two plays here, if the Titans make the play, they win the game, and they didn't. And as we sort of tee up to Ron here, I would say this. You can't panic. They screwed it up, right? There's nothing they can do about that now. They goofed it up. They did exactly the opposite of the team they want to be. They didn't do the little things, which would have carried them through against a very mediocre Colts team. But we got a long way to go here, right? Where do they go from here? That's the question. They come right back on Thursday night. If they let one loss become two, then it becomes a big, big problem. But they have a chance to turn it quickly around after a really, really hot day. I'm really curious to see how they respond on Thursday night in Jacksonville.
Well, and I am too, because that is probably the biggest problem. That we look at all the little things, and the little things add up to a big problem. But their biggest issue is they can't be consistent. And, you know, and we said it all week. Okay, you got to win over the Browns on the road. It wasn't – you didn't look great doing it. I mean, there was definitely some things they had to clean up on offense, and that didn't happen. They didn't clean up a lot of those things. They were able to make plays defensively against Cleveland that, you know, Indianapolis, that offensive line is obviously a lot better, so they didn't make as many of the plays, couldn't get to Jacoby Brissett like they got to Baker Mayfield. So those were things, but you can't – you got to take it game to game, and they haven't been able to do that. So if they bounce back and they win against Jacksonville, okay, great. Then you got to turn around and do it again against Atlanta when you have a longer week. It's a short week. Maybe that's going to be a good thing because they can wash this bad taste out of their mouth Thursday night in Jacksonville. But there are some inconsistencies with this football team from the head coach all the way down that really concern me right now. I mean, it's – like you said, it's little things that are all adding up. But again, Marcus Mariota making some mistakes in year five, I mean, it's not helping his case at all.
Well, there's two ways to look at that. And that number one, and there's Teron. He's looking for us. We got to introduce Teron as to where we're going here. We're going to introduce him to Pete and Terry's here.
Teron Davenport.
Teron looking, do I go in the arena? We're right here. Teron, we are right here. Okay, he's coming in. But ponder this. We're going to put a lot of this on Mariota, and Teron has talked about this, and I see some of his coverage of the game. And there's no question, Mariota did not play as well as he needed to play yesterday. But it kind of illustrates that this is the sort of the quarterback that he is.
Yeah.
If he doesn't make a jump, is it that surprising? This is the fifth year. Ironically, he's got four touchdown passes and no interceptions. They didn't make the big mistake. That's what really kills you, is that they were plus two. In the turnovers.
Yeah,
he didn't make the big
mistake.
They
haven't turned the ball over yet.
But they didn't.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
So that ought to tell you that they've missed a big chance to be 2-0.
The other thing, too, that, and this is where I put it on coaching, Derrick Henry had 15 carries for 81 yards. And at the end of the game, when they were handing him the ball, what was he doing? He was making plays.
Yeah.
And then I understand you get down, you don't have a lot of time. But even before that, they kind of went away from him, and they put Deion Lewis in the game. Why would you go away from Derrick Henry?
Well, they went away from him for one play, pretty much. It was, and I see what everybody is saying. It's first and 10 at the 48 to start the fourth quarter. You've got the ball. You're up 17-13. You got a chance. That is your best chance to take full control of the game. And I think you could argue if they go down and score a touchdown, maybe even if go down and just get a field goal, they might win this thing. And they come in with Deion Lewis. I was a little perplexed, but they did come back with Henry after that on first and 10 from the 39. But what kills you is they get the pass interference, right? And they, after all that, right?
Yeah.
Henry's back in.
Right.
They've got the ball first and 10 on the Indy 25. And that's where Henry was in, and they still didn't get it done. So that it was just the ultimate in frustration, I think, yesterday. Teron Davenport joins us here in just a moment. Stay tuned. We're going to break down this Titans game. Coming up a little later, we'll talk Predators as well. Scott Nickel will join us, and we'll sort of set the table for some of the guys you're going to be looking for today in Game 1 and Game 2. We'll hit on a lot of what you're going to see here in Smashville today. We'll certainly talk a lot of Titans, and we'll mix in our weekly talk with Vince Farrar to talk University of Tennessee at high noon. Stay tuned. We're coming back. We're at Pete and Terry's right at Bridgestone Arena. Come by and see us today. We've got the lunch special. This is 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah, the Predator season is starting up. Doubleheader today to start the preseason and starting up and making the request here at Pete and Terry's Tavern right on Demumbrian. We are right on the Sobro side of Bridgestone Arena. Come by and see us and take advantage of the lunch special. Teron Davenport is here. Teron, starting up. Nice job. Welcome to Pete and Terry's.
Thanks. I appreciate the welcome, and thanks for hitting that Rolling Stones for me. It goes back to back in the day watching Jumpin' Jack Flash with Whoopi Goldberg. That's what started me liking the Stones, man.
All right. So, Teron, I'm not sure where we start. Because as Chase and I were sort of setting the table in the last segment, I felt like, and I just started listing them last night as I was sort of breaking down. You know, I was at the baseball field all day yesterday. I listened and watched the second half, and then I went back and watched the whole broadcast, you know, stopping and pausing and looking. But I just ended up listing about 10 things where I'm saying to myself, you know, but it's almost like
Teron
any one or two of these. Teron has his list. I see we can compare notes here, literally. But one or two things of all these little things might have been enough to win the game, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, that's so true. And before we get into that, one of the things that I'm noticing here is if you ever want to know everything that's wrong with the Titans and the whole rest of the world, critique Marcus Mariota. Because you will find out that, you know, there's world hunger. You will find out that, you know, there's everything going on other than plays that he's left on the field.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really big issue. And that even comes from some of the media here. There's a point in time where you have to start being critical of this guy's play.
Yeah.
Now, being critical of his play does not in any way mean that you're saying that he is a guy that they have to move on from. You're not saying that they lost because of him. Fact of the matter is, as the quarterback, you're supposed to contribute towards the team winning. There are plays that he left on the field that didn't contribute towards the team winning. You could start right from the first play of the daggone game. Delanie Walker had nothing but air and opportunity. As a matter of fact, if he caught the ball, the only thing he would have had to worry about was not bumping his head on the goalpost because it was touchdown. Mariota threw the ball behind him.
Yeah.
You can't have that. A big play like that, even if they just completed that pass, even if he just completed that pass, sets a whole different tone. Instead, they do what? They go three and out.
And that's a great example, and you could probably write down 7 to 10 plays.
Oh, I wrote 12.
You wrote 12, just critiquing Mariota. So let's look at it from that perspective. He wasn't great. Even for him, right? He's been better than that before. He's going to need to be better than that. It reminds me so much of that article in The Athletic that had the quarterbacks in the tears, and the biggest quote that they had in that article from a defensive coach was, "I tell my guys when we play him, make them drive the field, and they'll bleep it up." And I think that's exactly the Colts' game plan yesterday. They were giving them the short stuff. They didn't give them anything easily down the field. Titans obliged by really not taking any shots down the field, but the dink and dunks were there. He missed a lot of them, right? They could have kept the chains moving many times. It was just the classic, let this quarterback sort of play himself into us having a chance to win the game, and then, boom, the 55-yard run gave the Colts the opportunity. The
next thing you know. And two.
Because Brissett wasn't a whole lot better, right? The Colts weren't great. They just were opportunistic.
Man, let me tell you something. Brissett was a lot better, right? Because there were sacks that should have been sacks.
Yes.
That weren't sacks.
I could not understand how they just couldn't get to him. I mean, the offensive line was opening up for the Titans' pass rush, and they couldn't bring him down.
There were sacks by the Colts that should not have been sacks.
True.
That's a problem. And now, to Mariota's credit, because you mentioned not going down the field. Very true. You need to stretch the football field. However, I just don't think he has the time to even look down the field. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that being said, like there was a play. I think it was. Let me look at this sheet of all these discrepancies.
It's so hard in 45 minutes because we could take each play, right? Yeah. And go through it and do a diagram. It's like.
But see, there are examples that you could pull of the different issues this team was having, right? Everybody says, oh, they gave up four sacks. The offensive line is terrible. Not quite. How did Lee Corso say? Not so fast, my friend.
Right.
And if you look at just after the two-minute warning in the first half, right, Delanie Walker, once again, wide open, running a crossing route. Mariota stares right at him just the same way I'm looking into Chase's eyes. Didn't throw it. Get sacked, a 7-yard loss. You absolutely cannot have these things happen. And that's the issue with Mariota. And it goes back to something Mike Vrabel said last August of 2018, let it rip. That's an easy throw between the hashes that a quarterback like Mariota likes to make. And you can't put the excuse of he doesn't trust the player because it's Delanie Walker. There's no excuse for that. It's inexcusable.
And he's got other players that he should be trusting, too.
That's a good point. I do think what I see on the positive side is, and I think Arthur Smith, when I look at the diagram of the play, and I don't know everything that they're trying to look for here, but I see Adam Humphries open as the outlet times. He's there. He's finding that open spot. Mariota just doesn't see him. Deion Lewis leaks out a couple of times. He's there. Yep. Mariota turns and runs instead, where he gets a decent game. But if he hits Lewis coming out of the backfield, I think they get more yards. It's the sack where they have to settle for the field goal.
The 45-yarder?
Yeah, well, the one that Santos made.
Okay, that he made, yeah.
Derrick Henry is open in the flat. Nobody picks him up. And he's got a tight end going. He has two hot routes, and instead he feels the pressure. He puts his head down and thinks, maybe I can find a running lane. Mm-hmm. Instead, he gets swallowed up. So there was just some key plays at key times, right, where they're in position to really open it up and give themselves control of the game. In the late third quarter when they had the momentum, and then in the fourth quarter where the game's on the line, you could argue they're one touchdown drive away from putting the Colts in a spot where I'm not sure the Colts can rally and win. They just missed those chances.
That 45-yarder that Santos missed. Granted, he never should have missed it. And if you critique Mariota, that's something that always comes up. But here's the thing. It was 3rd and 5. You mentioned Deion Lewis in the flat. Dump the ball off to him. Mm-hmm. Let him get you 2 yards or
that's
3 yards.
That's why you signed him.
That's why you signed him.
I thought Humphries was open on that play, too.
It was a 7-yard loss. Otherwise, that's a 38-yard field goal attempt.
Right.
Much more makeable than the 45-yarder. Granted, there's no excuse for that to have been missed. So there's just things. Logan Ryan has the interception. The crowd, Nissan Stadium, is going crazy. The next drive, you go, you don't capitalize. The first play, Corey Davis is open on a deep outbreaking route, and Mariota overshot him. Can't have that. Those are things that cannot happen. In addition to all the things, you know, the defense giving up the 50-yard. Those things cannot happen, and you're not going to win that way.
Right. And so I like what I'm seeing with Arthur Smith. That's encouraging.
I don't think he's a problem.
No.
I do like the game plan. I like the game plan. Guys are open. I don't mind on a hot day like that. I think they set the table for Henry to really get the carries late in the game, to put it away. That's when you get your 22, 23 carries.
Yeah.
I like that he had steam, he had momentum going into the second half. You started to see it, and it just didn't quite unfold the way it needed to because you left some other plays on the table. But I like what they've got. They've got the means to have a much better offense, but you got to execute. You got to do the little thing. So let's stop there. When we come back, we'll get into that's the Mariota part of this.
Yep.
There's other stuff, too. I mean, that's the thing. Like, is this a great defense or is this a good defense? Let's hit that when we come back, because I thought the defense could have been better if they're a great defense. They didn't play bad. But what's going to carry this team to where they want to go? We'll come back and talk about it next here on 102.5 The Game. We're coming at you from Pete and Terry's Tavern today, 3:30 and 7. The doubleheader, Predators and Florida Panthers, as the preseason gets underway. Come on down. There's going to be a lot of fun activities in Smashville today, starting at 11 a.m. with the lunch special.
Yes.
I mean, come to Pete and Terry's Tavern. It's waiting for you.
Burger right and here. A beer, $12.50.
Jump all over it, man. Come on.
I'm there. I'm down.
All right, Chase, let's hit the defensive side of this on this, and I'll start it with the open-ended question to you guys. I think we all had our questions about the Titans' offense, and that's where most of the focus is in the analysis of yesterday. Rightfully so. But if it's going to be a great team, if they're going to do what they want, the defense, I think, has a higher ceiling, which is a credit to how they've built this thing. They got two turnovers yesterday, but yet I was still thinking a great defense could have maybe closed that game out right there. They had Rashawn Evans has an interception in his hands. Oh. Almost has it.
Yeah.
Tough one.
But Ryan gives up a touchdown.
Jarrell Casey.
Yep.
Yeah, right. The red zone is something. They didn't get stops in the red zone. And the 55-yard run, that one really hurt.
That was a bad
breaker. I just don't see. I think I can argue if you make the Colts drive the field, just like the book on the Titans, make them drive the field and they'll make a mistake. I don't know if the Colts could have driven 10 yards at a time at that stage of the game. And you let them go for a 55-yard run. That was a killer to me. So we hold the defense maybe to a higher standard. But the defense could have maybe picked up the offense yesterday. They had chances to do so, and they didn't. Jarrell Casey lining up in the neutral zone was a huge mistake at the time.
Couldn't tackle Brissett.
Yeah, chances to make sacks. So you gotta put that. That's got to be part
of it.
It
was a total team loss.
I mean, no doubt about it.
You can't blame one individual. You can't blame one group. You can't blame the head coach. It's a total team loss. It's on everybody.
Here's the thing. I think that defense, despite all of that, played good enough for them to win.
Yeah.
However, that run, when you give up an explosive like that on the ground, I talked to Dave McGinnis because I have an oral history of Henry's 99-yard run coming out this week. Obviously, you know, he's facing the Jaguars.
Yeah, the Thursday night.
And Coach Mack, he said – before we even got into the run, he said, if there's one thing that breaks the back of a defense, it's an explosive run like that. And he is so right. Because if you watch just how deflated guys are after they give up a run like that, and that I think broke the team's back. But all of this that we mentioned, we didn't bring up something that I think absolutely has to be mentioned. And, Chase, I know you're in accord with this. They have a Marcus Mariota on defense.
Yep.
A guy who has all the ability that you could want.
First round pick,
but he just continues to disappoint. Adoree Jackson.
Yeah, bad penalty.
Terrible penalty.
Sets the table for the whole day for the Colts to be able to settle in and play their game, right, which is we're not going to take many chances. But they got the big penalty.
Right.
Think about how big that penalty was. What was it, 54 yards?
46 yards. Yeah.
The 55-yard run. I mean, that's how the Colts win the game.
But I want to focus.
Because they cashed in touchdowns each time.
That play right there is an example of the issue with Adoree Jackson. He was in position to make the play, but he panicked. And that's up here, pointing at my head.
Yeah.
That's up. You can't – the best DBs – when that ball is in the air, especially on a deep ball, they don't panic. They just play through it. And that's not what Adoree did. He panicked. He ended up grabbing Deion Kane. And next thing you know, the momentum is just – the Colts beat the Titans at what the Titans are supposed to be doing. Physical on offense. Go out three, force a three and out. Physical on offense. Drive down the field and score. Take the crowd away. That's what the Titans are supposed to be doing on the road. That's what the Colts did.
Yeah, they did that. And look, the Titans had everything in their favor going into this game with the stuff going on at halftime and coming off a big win, and they didn't use it to their advantage. And I heard Derek this morning, you know, he was upset at the fans for leaving early, which I was too because they were still in the game. I mean, it was still a very close game.
It was 19-17.
They need you at the end. But this right here shows you just where the fan base is at, that – if the Titans are showing the fans that, you know what, we're making these little mistakes and not in it, then they lose interest. I'm not saying that's right. That's football. But these are the things that the Titans have to use to their advantage. They didn't do it yesterday. They're too many mental mistakes.
The Titans are like a nice car that you have that just keeps breaking down on you. You know what I mean? You get that car on the road, and you're like, oh, this thing is smooth. It's riding. Then all of a sudden, the whatever goes. Yeah. It's like they for these fans, I turned to somebody. I think it was Calvin. I said to Calvin, I said, man, I would hate to be a fan of this team because it's so up and down.
Up and down.
You were so high coming off that Browns game, and then you have a chance just to literally – take a huge step forward, build off the momentum of that win, and then also the momentum that they developed during the week, and the fact that two legends are having their jerseys put in the rafters.
Yeah.
And you let the fans. You cannot do that.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you think that that ceremony would have been better served before the game? Was that an option? I haven't talked to anybody over there, but it dawned on me.
You take away warm-ups.
It was such a brutally hot day. I can certainly understand. It was a bummer that for something that big, the fans, they've been watching. They're trying. They're thinking, I got to get through this 93-degree heat. I'm sitting out here. Most of them are in the sun, right? Some of them, if you're lucky, for a part of the stadium, you're in the shade for most of the day. That's the coveted seats at this time of the year. There are some games later in the season where it's better to be on the other side, and you're in the sun the whole time. But at halftime, I understand when people want to. They got to get in. They got to get underneath. You got to get some shade. Got to get something to drink.
Well,
and so I felt bad because the stadium is largely empty for a huge ceremony. So like you don't get the crowd into it. It's just kind of we got to get through this.
I mean, you could hear the Eddie chants, but
absolutely. But I think it might have been better before the game. But that's just.
But it did serve a purpose because the Titans come out with a stop to start the third quarter, and they score in their first offensive drive. So,
well, I heard Mike Keith say this, though. It's like, by the time the second half starts, there's still a lot of people that aren't in their seats. But that is the quarter that the Titans had a chance to take control of the game.
Yeah, and at that time, they did take
control. Grasp. Yeah, they had it in their grasp.
They took control, and then they gave it back. I mean, that goes to the inconsistencies. That's where I have coaching questions of just how Mike Vrabel was managing the game. I mean, it goes all the way to the end with the clock management.
Well, in the last segment, we're going to talk about the management in the last 4 minutes of the game. Because I do think that is a huge thing. It just illustrates how close these games are. I had a feeling the game was going to be that close, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to come in and overpower the Colts in this game.
Well, a lot of us had 24-20.
Yeah.
Being the final. Were you in the scrum, Teron, with Delanie Walker?
No. No, I wasn't.
So, but have you heard his comments after the game?
You have to ask the coach.
I have to ask the coach. There you go.
Well, I was really surprised to hear that, honestly, from Delanie Walker. Let's play it, and then I'll get Teron to comment on it.
Why has third down been a bugaboo for you guys the first couple of weeks?
Hey, I don't know. Yeah, it's the coach there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. That's obviously something that needs to improve for you guys.
Indeed. Very true.
Man, a few words today. Does this one sting more than others?
We lost. I mean, they all sting when you lose. It's bottom line, we lost.
What do you think the issues have been over the passing game today? It just seems like it couldn't get
consistent. You ask the coach.
Do you have an opinion on it?
Nope.
Okay. What did you see out there?
We didn't make plays.
Do you feel like y'all were in sync? Was there anything off between the communication?
Ask the coach that.
Yeah. Blaine, it's almost good that you have a short week. Kind of get this out of your mind, get ready for Jacksonville Thursday night.
Yep, got to move on. It's over with. Now we got Jacksonville.
Do I have any idea why we're not seeing very many explosive plays?
You might want to ask the coach that.
I mean, it's one thing to say ask the coach one time.
Yeah.
But as I watch that, because sometimes I see the headline, ask the coach, and I'm thinking, well, in the context of a long answer, that may not be the story. But he kept coming back to it, Teron. Mm-hmm. What do you think's going on there? He's a veteran, right? I know he's frustrated. He may feel much differently today. If you were to talk to him today, he might have said, heat of the moment kind of thing, but I do wonder, where's he going with that?
I'm curious of what you think, because I have thoughts on this.
I want to hear what you guys think, because ask the coach would indicate, It's the game plan. I thought the game plan was all right. I saw stuff there. It's just not finding the guys that were open on the key plays.
Yeah, I think it could be that. But really what I think with Delaney in this case was he just didn't feel like dealing with it. You know what I mean? That's really what I think.
Okay.
He did not feel like explaining away anything or calling anybody out or anything like that. And I've had people tell me that this was the most dejected they've ever seen Delaney after a game, which I think is interesting. So knowing that Delaney is a guy who doesn't bite his tongue, I think in this case it was one of those things where, you know, you have a parent who tells you, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this situation was.
I think if you hear – it depends on the type of player. Like, let's say if Antonio Brown is saying something like that, you're going, okay, well, that's A-B being A-B.
Yeah.
If Delaney Walker is giving you that answer, there's something behind it, in my opinion. That's how I look at it, that I feel like there's a frustration. And you may be right that he didn't want to sit there and explain everything because – It's almost like you saw the game, but there was a frustration of the management of a play call or something, because it is just not like him to answer it that way. It's
just odd, because
it's very, very odd.
That's an answer you might get of a team that's 2-6.
Yes,
they're 1-1. We got a long way to go. That's the first loss of the season. Mm. This loss does not have to define them.
Well,
right, it's a tough, close loss. You're gonna lose some games. This team was not gonna go 16-0.
Right,
it's important for they missed a huge opportunity. I can understand the frustration, but I don't understand the four times saying, "Ask the coach." I don't get that.
Well, you said it too, right? He was open because the initial question was about third downs.
Yeah,
and you said it. He was open multiple times on third down.
Oh yeah,
and then
only one. There's
like
plenty
I said,
open.
One of the sacks, but this was the guy they were talking to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I said, one of the sacks, he was wide open on a crosser. I think frustration just set in, and he just didn't want to get into it. And that's, I mean,
and he doesn't want to call out
the
person that needs to be called out.
If that's his thinking, I understand. I'm putting it on the coaches rather than I'm going to call out my teammate.
And that goes back to something I said yesterday, that you would have think, you know, I said Jesus never existed, because, you know, I said it's time to take off the kids' gloves when addressing Marcus Mariota.
I saw your tweet, yeah.
And people went crazy. But it is time for that. So.
Yeah, he's got to be better. There's no question about it. When we come back, we'll look at the final 4 minutes of the game. Titans have the ball, 3rd and 10 at their own 25, down by 2. Mariota passes to Tajay Sharpe. He should have gotten the first down. He did not. We all know what happened on that play. We're going to talk about what happened from there when we come back, because this is classic NFL clock management stuff. That right there, forget about all that led up to it, but right there they had a chance to win it, and obviously they did not. Stay tuned. We'll discuss when we come back here on 102.5. Pete and Terry's Tavern. Here on SoBro, right next to, adjacent to, connected to Smashville, Bridgestone Arena. We've got the doubleheader this afternoon. The Predators and the Florida Panthers will have all the action here on 102.5 The Game. Scotty Nichol is going to join us at 11 o'clock to set the table for what we're going to see this afternoon and tonight as we get the preseason started. In the meantime, final segment with Teron Davenport, ESPN.com, and, of course, talking with TD. You'll hear him a lot throughout the football season. Of course, he and Chase have the Friday night show, Freaky Friday.
On a Wednesday this week.
On a Wednesday this week, on the eve of the big Thursday night game against Jacksonville. So, guys, let's look at it. We just mentioned Tajay Sharpe clearly should have just – I mean, sometimes these things happen. You wonder, how does he not see that? Maybe he thought he was going to get hit hard. Maybe he thought he had a chance to turn up field and make a big play, but – it's easy for us from up above to say, well, look, there was nobody there. Just fall forward. You got the first down. He didn't. That was another one of the little things. But what happened after that, guys, was kind of puzzling, where they go up on the ball as if they're going to go for it on their own 34-yard line with 3:38 left, and they still had all of their timeouts at that point. I was really puzzled as to why they ran the clock all the way down and ended up taking a delay of game. So, Teron, what did you talk to people after the game about that? What did you decide?
Yeah, and I messed that up earlier, saying he called a timeout. My clock management skills aren't very good either. Apparently.
But even the delay of game to lose those seconds turned out to be very important.
Yeah, that just wasn't a good call. I mean, there's no way of getting around it. You cannot lose. They're not winning the game, right?
It's that play. That's the famous John Madden line, the Cowboys-Eagles game. You can't win the play on. You can't win the game on this play, but you could lose it. So punting was the right thing to do.
If I remember correctly, they were down at that point, right?
They were down 19 to 17
right
at that point.
And there was how much time left?
3 minutes and 38 seconds.
Okay.
Well, actually, when Sharp goes down, there's still over 4 minutes left.
Okay. So you know you're getting to the point where time is of the essence, right?
Right. You know you got to get the ball
back. Seconds on the clock are huge. That being said, if you're going to trust your defense, don't get cute. Punt the daggone football. Save that time. Don't get cute.
Cost them 40 seconds. Now,
it cost them all that time, and that ended up hurting.
Then they punt the ball to the 26-yard line. Jarrell Casey, of all people, and it's hard to get on him because this never happens, but he lined up. You could see it plain as day. He lined up in the neutral zone, gave him 5 free yards. A first and five in that situation is huge.
Yep.
Is huge. It forces the Titans to take the timeout, which they were going to have to take anyway, yet they still get him into 3rd and 8. And this is another case where they had Brissett sort of tied up. He rumbles and gets close to the first down. I thought he was going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frank Reich makes an unbelievably gutsy call.
That's Frank Reich.
But I thought that was great how they did it, because everybody takes a deep breath when they call the timeout and they don't, and you think, okay, we've done it. We didn't jump.
Yeah.
We're getting the ball back. And then we're going for it.
Yep.
That, I've never seen that before, but that was psychologically a really interesting way of doing that,
yeah,
especially in that area of the field. Huge call. Game-winning call, because that effectively took all the time down and made it much more difficult for the Titans.
And that's what happens when you have that trust in your guys up front. You know what
yeah
I mean? He
yeah
had the trust in the guys. He said, you know what? And the thing that's crazy is, let's say they don't convert that, the Titans are automatically in
right
range
yeah
to win the game.
Oh,
but he trusted them that much.
Yeah,
he trusted Quentin
huge
Nelson. He trusted Brissett, and he trusted Ryan Kelly that much to go for it.
All right, so now let's get to the Titans. They get the ball back.
Real quick, Adam Schefter reports Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is out for the season.
Ooh.
And there goes my fantasy football team.
Ouch.
Elbow injury puts him out for the season. It's
wow
been a tough year for starting quarterbacks so far.
Yikes.
All right, so the Titans have the ball back. Now they have no timeouts left.
And they still have plenty of time,
they still,
though.
But
they
still
have a minute.
You're still doable, right? The minute seven, we've seen plenty of teams who only need a field goal go down the field with no timeouts in a lot less time than a minute seven.
Yeah, and how do you win games like that, Teron? We've discussed this. Chunk plays. Chunk plays are beautiful. You need those.
Well, it's not even the chunk plays to me, okay? Let's look at the very first play, because to me the first play is the key. An incomplete pass does not kill you.
Nope.
But instead, they take a 4-yard throw to Delanie Walker in bounds, where he has no chance of getting out of bounds. It costs them 18 seconds. 18 seconds for 4 yards. That cannot happen.
Yeah.
That cannot happen. To me, they let it get away right there. Even though Mariota recovers, he makes a nice scramble. Now you're at midfield. And then they spike the ball. So by the time you have two plays and a spike, 36 seconds is gone. That is very, very inefficient right there.
In addition to the 40 you lost when you tried to get cute.
Right, the 40
yeah
seconds you've already
right
let go. Yeah.
That
and
was
then,
the killer.
Then they throw another pass to A.J. Brown slanting in to the middle of the field with no timeouts left. Short of the first down marker.
And then spike it on third down.
And then spike it on third down.
Which I know is a tough decision because you're at that point 15 seconds left. But aren't you better off just going ahead and running a play?
But the two plays where it looked to me like the Colts were saying, okay, look, we're not going to let Mariota run. We're not going to let him roll. We're going to let you. Let's see if he'll throw it to this guy in the flat inbounds. And they took the bait on both. That cost them. When you have no timeouts left, you cannot throw those passes. To
yeah
me, that's – I had more of a problem with that than the spikes, especially the first spike. Now the second spike, Adam Archuleta was all over this on the game broadcast, that you can't spike it on third and two.
Yeah.
You got to throw a quick one. Throw it to the sideline. If it's incomplete, that's no big deal. It's just the same thing as a spike. You might have lost 2 or 3 seconds on that.
And the thing is, so they were at the 45 at that time.
Right.
If they hit, that's when they need to get that quick one to Delaney or a quick one to A.J. Brown like they did, because now you're in position to spike it, run your hurricane drill, get them on the field, you know.
And then the fourth and two from the 45, there's 13 seconds. A.J. Brown, that's not the best throw I've ever seen. But A.J. Brown's got two hands on that ball. He has a chance to, if he catches that ball.
It was good defense, too. You got to give
it was contested.
But you
got two hands on it.
You got to make the
You catch. Got a chance to make that play. It's not the best throw. It's not the worst throw.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that you left everything to that throw, right? If that's third down, but then you got another chance.
Right.
On the next one.
I like the fact that A.J., after the game, said, I got to make that play. I go out on the field to make plays. I have to make that play. That's good that he showed that, you know, level of being responsible. But he does have to make the play. However, on that play, there was one other thing that I saw that I think actually is a good sign. And I'm going to tell you what that is. Corey Davis was open on a slant. His guy, I think it was Quincy Wilson. I forget who it was. It's irrelevant. But whoever was on him kind of slipped. And Corey Davis was wide open. Mariota goes to A.J. Brown. I saw something from Corey Davis that I hadn't seen before. A reaction.
Okay.
Go back and watch the play.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Like
he was upset.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
I want the ball.
And that's something that they need more of. It's a terrible loss, right? It counts as two because you lost at home. You lost against a division rival, and it's just a loss overall. So it's going to sting. But like these guys are saying, fortunately for them, they have the ability to turn it around on Thursday.
Teron, thanks a lot for coming by.
Yep, no problem.
Enjoyed having you here at Pete and Terry's. It probably won't be the last time.
Yeah, for sure. At least now I know where I'm going.
Exactly. Now you know.
Thanks, TD. See you Wednesday.
That's right.
All right.
Wacky Wednesdays.
When we come back, we will have a table setter for the games this afternoon and this evening here at Bridgestone Arena. It's the Predators and the Florida Panthers. Scotty Nichol joins us next here on 102.5 The Game.